Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you today and to sing those precious hymns of the season celebrating the birth of Christ. I'm not up. Okay.
I believe we have junior church this morning, so let's dismiss the boys and girls.
Merry Christmas, by the way. It's great to be with you. I appreciate your pastor and his wife. Bob and Sharon have been dear, dear friends. We had the opportunity to work together here in the state of Michigan. I work in the area of church planting. My job is to connect planters with partners to start churches in places that need them, places that need to hear the gospel of Christ. And often in my work, I would call upon Pastor Bob to come and talk to these young church planters and help them because he has just such a, well, as you already know, an incredible wealth of knowledge and experience to be used for the kingdom of God. And we're thankful for him and his ministry here at this church. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke this morning. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to read one of the great passages about Christmas this morning. Luke chapter 1. Beginning with verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall never end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the holy child should be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what you did at Christmas. We thank you, Father, that you came in the person of your Son to do life with us. We thank you for the difference that it makes. We thank you for the hope that we have in Christ, the mercy we find in him, the salvation that he gives. I thank you, Father, for this church. We thank you, Father, for how she serves you, for the ministries that she's engaged in. We thank you for Pastor Bob and Sharon, and just pray your blessings upon them as they visit with family, but also as they lead your people here in this place. God, we pray that you'll speak to us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. For me, it's a little hard to believe that Christmas is almost here again. If you're like me, you've celebrated a lot of Christmases. You've heard the story. You know about the wise men. You know about the shepherds. You know how the story's going to end. And yet, it never ceases to be amazing. It is the amazing story of how God comes in the person of his Son to do life with us. It was at Christmas that I had the opportunity to hear for the very first time in my life about Jesus and how much God loves me. a friend of mine living down the street from where I grew up in Swartz Creek, invited me to come to his church Christmas program. One of the teenagers of the church had written a story about the birth of Jesus, and they were all excited about this presentation they were going to have. So I walked into that church building, not knowing really what to expect, but as I watched the Christmas story unfold, I felt for the first time in my life that God loved me. And that story, I didn't accept Christ that day, but that story penetrated my heart. And eventually I came to the place where I asked Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. And my life has never been the same because of Jesus. The first person to experience Christmas, of course, is Mary. For Mary, Christmas started a few months before the rest of the people. It started when the angel Gabriel was sent by God to deliver a very special message to her. He told her that she was going to have a child. That child was going ultimately, we know, was going to be the very Son of God who steps from eternity, if you will, into time to show us what God is like. That message changed Mary's life, and that message has been changing lives ever since. This morning I want us to think about four things about Christmas. The first thing I want us to think about this morning is what I'm calling the reach of Christmas. The reach of Christmas. Look again, if you will, at verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Nazareth, or a city in Galilee called Nazareth." God sent Gabriel to a very small city. Nazareth was not one of the most popular cities in Galilee. In fact, it was a place that was looked down upon by a lot of people. It was off the main road. And yet God, when he wanted to change history forever, God sends the angel to Nazareth. Now, God doesn't do things the way we do. I would think that if God really wanted to change the world, he would have sent the angel to Rome, the center of political power in that day and time. Or maybe he would have sent the angel to Athens, the center of intellectual power. Or maybe he would have sent that angel to Jerusalem, the center of religious power. But God doesn't think like we do. In fact, the scripture tells us that God says, "For my ways are not your ways, nor are my thoughts your thoughts." So when God is going to do this incredible movement, when he is going to come to be God incarnate among us, he sends his angel to this place called Nazareth. You'll remember from the scripture that when Philip met Jesus, he went and he found Nathanael, and he began to tell him about Jesus. And he says, "We have found the Messiah, the one that the prophet spoke up, Jesus of Nazareth." Do you remember what he said? "Can any good thing come out of where? Nazareth." It had that kind of reputation. And yet we see here that God reaches into history. And God looks at things different than we do. And when God looked down at that city, Nazareth, that other people might have thought was on the wrong side of the railroad tracks, God looked down and he saw a beautiful young woman named Mary. And God looked upon her life. And God decided that not only would he come to an unusual place, but God would use an unusual person. God was going to come in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was going to overshadow this virgin named Mary, and there within her womb, the very Son of God is going to be conceived. Like I said, God does some amazing things. Jesus is born. He comes not wearing the royal robes of a king or the priestly mantle of a prophet, nor the vestments of a priest. He comes wearing, if you will, the swaddling clothes of a baby. Yet in that humble place, with that humble young woman, Jesus is going to come and change the world. I'm thankful for this morning for the reach of the gospel. You see, because Jesus ultimately was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth, and out of that place, the message of God is going to radiate. Yes, it's going to get to Rome, the place of power. It's going to get to Athens, the place of intellect. It's going to get to Jerusalem, the place of religion. And as the gospel goes forth, it's going to change lives everywhere that it goes. I'm thankful that the reach of the gospel comes to a place just like this today. I'm thankful that when I was a teenager and my friend invited me to church, I had the opportunity to hear about the great love of God. I'm thankful for our missionaries. I love that video that we showed a moment ago. Our missionaries are taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the far corners of the earth. My wife and I had the privilege of serving as your missionaries with the International Mission Board as missionaries in Brazil. It was an incredible experience. There were times that I had the opportunity to go to some very faraway places. We lived right in the exact center of South America. The Amazon River Basin was in that area. Now, we lived in a capital city, but every once in a while, we would leave the capital city and we would go up into what we called the Norton, the Big North. And as we would go, the highway would end. It would turn into dirt roads. And then the dirt roads would be filled with these giant, I call them car-eating holes. I mean, just huge. And as you go into that Amazon River Basin, it gets more and more remote. I remember staying at the home of a family. Their house looked like, well, it looked like something we would see in a Wild West movie. It was planks, very simple. They had no electricity. In fact, at night, what they did is they had the camping lights we use with propane? That's how they lit the house. She cooked our food. By the way, it was salted meat. She cooked our food on a wood stove. It was interesting, though, that I had a hot shower there in a separate room of the house. They had this big bucket. And at the bottom of the bucket, it had a hole. So she would heat the water up on the wood stove, and you would take a rope and you would pull that bucket up above you, open the bottom of the hole, and water would come down. It was about as far away as I've ever been. But when we woke up that Sunday morning, we followed that. It wasn't really a road anymore. It was more like a path to a place where there was a clearing in the forest, and there was the simplest church I think I've ever worshipped in. And when it came time for the service to start, people started to come from everywhere. They were riding bicycles. They were walking. Sometimes they even rode tractors to get there. But there in that place, tucked way in the Amazon River Basin, we celebrated the Lord's Supper, and we proclaimed the gospel together. I'm thankful that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has reached down from heaven to Nazareth. And from Nazareth, it has reached around the world. And that gospel that has reached around the world is still reaching lives today in places just like this. You may be here this morning without Christ. You've never accepted Him as Savior and Lord. That message that changed Mary's life, that changed my life, that changed the lives of so many people here today, can change your life. The reach of the gospel. The second thing I want us to think about this morning as we think about this encounter between Mary and the angel is this. Let's look at what I'm calling the power of the gospel. Go down, if you will, to verse 37. Verse 37. The angel says to Mary, for nothing will be impossible with God. You know, those are only seven words. But you know what? I need those seven words in my life. The gospel is a declaration, if you will. The Christmas story is a declaration, if you will, that our God can make the impossible possible. I mean, when you look at this story, God sends the angel to a virgin named Mary. Mary hears what the angel is saying, and she's really baffled by what's going on. She knows that there's no way she can have a baby. She's never been with a man. She says, I'm a virgin. See, virgins don't have babies. unless God's in it. And God was going to do something that only God can do. God was going to reach into her life, and God was going to cause her womb to conceive, and God was going to place his eternal son in the womb of a baby. Folks, that's impossible. And yet God did it. I think of Mary having to take that message that she was pregnant to her fiancé, if you will, Joseph. Now, you've read the story in the Bible. Joseph didn't believe it when Mary told him she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the scripture says that he was thinking in his mind that he was going to put her away privately. And yet God comes to Joseph in a dream. And God tells Joseph that the baby that is growing in the womb of your fiancé has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. He says, you're going to raise this child and you're going to give him the name Jesus. So God not only does the impossible, if you will, by making a virgin conceive, God works in a relationship that's been torn, a relationship that's been frazzled. Joseph was having a very difficult time with what was happening in Mary's life. There was an alienation between them, so much so that Joseph is going to divorce her. He's going to put her away privately. But God does one of his great miraculous things. God heals a broken relationship. God makes it possible so that these two who are at odds with one another, these two who have conflict between one another, can be reconciled because of the power of God. And when you look at the passage of Scripture, not only does God do a powerful, powerful thing in Mary's life, he makes her conceive. Not only does he do a powerful, powerful thing in the relationship between Mary and Joseph, but God does an incredible thing when he talks about, through the angel Gabriel, this child who's going to come. Look, if you will, again at the text. Verse 31. The angel says five things about Jesus. And as he goes through these five things, it's like a note of music, if you will, that starts strong. But as it comes forth, it builds and it builds and builds until it is a crescendo of praise. And he says to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you've found favor with God. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and shall bear a son. Here's thing number one. You shall call him Jesus. The name Jesus, by the way, literally means Savior. Savior. Look at the next verse. Verse 32. He will be great. Not only is he the Savior, but he is a great Savior. You remember the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and the birth of their son, John? It's about to happen. John was conceived, if you will, between the natural relationships between a man and a woman. John was also called great, but this one who is coming through the womb of Mary, he is greater even still because he will be conceived by none other than God himself. Look a little further. He shall be called the Son of the Most High. In their day and time, when you said that somebody was the son of, it was like saying that he will be a carbon copy of his father. So we have this crescendo of praise, the Savior, the Great One, the one who is nothing less than the Son of the Eternal God. Then he goes on to say of this one who is coming, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Mary was of the lineage of David. She was well aware of the promises of God to King David, that there would always be, that there would coming forth from him an eternal throne. So we have this praise, this power of God coming. And then he says the most incredible thing in the next verse. He will be, verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall know no end. He will be eternal God with us. He will be the King of Kings. He will be the Savior, the Great One, the one who is a representative, a copy of the Most High God. He will come into this world to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Eternal Reigning One. He is the one who will set the captives free. He is the one who will change history forever. And when you think about it, I mean, think about the reach of God from heaven to Nazareth and around the world. Think about the power of God. He comes and he works miraculously in Mary's life. He works miraculously in Joseph's life. And then he says, I'm coming in the person of my son. And this son will be the eternal, reigning, omnipotent one. The power of Christmas. Let's look a little further in the passage. And I want us to think for just a moment, not just about the reach of Christmas, not just about the power of Christmas, but you know, there's also what I'm calling the peace of Christmas. The peace of Christmas. Look at verse 31. Verse 31. Actually, verse 30. When Mary receives the announcement from the angel Gabriel, the Bible says that she was perplexed. I looked at 10 different Bibles to see how they translated what Mary was feeling. Some say that she was troubled. Some say that she was greatly troubled. Some say that she was perplexed. Some say that she was conflicted. The idea of all of them, though, is that when the angel spoke to Mary, it scared her. It scared her. It scared her when the angel first started speaking. It scared her even more when the angel told her that she was going to have a baby. And as this message is unfolding in her life, the angel says this to her in verse 30, the peace of Christmas. He says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You know, I was looking at this story and just thinking about life in general. Isn't it amazing how fast life can change? We don't know what Mary was doing when the angel appeared to her. We don't know what was going on in her life. The Bible just simply doesn't tell us. But in just a couple of sentences, I mean, just like that, her life changed. And it scared her. And you know, the older you get, you have those moments in life. It might be because the telephone is ringing. Or it might happen when the doctor walks in the room and he's got that chart and he's reading to you the results of the test. Or it might be that car that just absolutely comes out of nowhere, the last possible thing you could ever imagine. And in a moment, in an instant, life can change. And as I thought about how Mary's life changed in this passage, I came to the conclusion that we can experience peace not when we have the absence of troubling times in our lives, but we can experience peace when we have the God of peace in troubling times. Do you see the difference there? The reality is that there will be difficult moments in life. The thing about life is that it keeps coming at us. And sometimes when it comes at us, it feels like a freight train that's going to knock us down. Tough things come. And I wish we could just take those times of life away. But life doesn't work that way. And sometimes we do face tough things. But God comes to Mary. And God's going to do a tough thing in her life. It caused strain between her and Joseph. And Mary had to live the rest of her life. Not everybody believed the story. She had to live the rest of her life with the taint of that story. But God came. And when God came to her life, God came bringing peace. The angel says to Mary, do not be afraid. I want you to see something in this text. Look at verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, it says, will overshadow you. The imagery here is of a cloud that encompasses or surrounds. I think it really goes back to way back in the Old Testament. You remember the story of the people of Israel as they're leaving Egypt? Moses leads them to build the tabernacle, that tent, that place where they believed the presence of God, and indeed the presence of God did dwell. The people gave generously. They worked together. They had all of the things they needed to put that tent together. Finally, when it was all done, the Bible says that the presence of God came down in a cloud, and it filled the tabernacle. And when God says in this passage of Scripture through the angel Gabriel that the presence of the Holy Spirit will overshadow Mary, what it is saying is that God, in the presence of His Spirit, God will move upon the womb of this woman. And just like in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the place that housed the presence of God. There in the womb of Mary, the Holy Spirit would oversee over that womb, surround that womb, and it would become the dwelling place during her pregnancy of the Son of God. And Mary is able to deal with all of this. Mary is able to take this all in because God is going to be with her. It's the presence of God that brings peace to her life, not the absence of difficulty. And some of us need to hear the angel, if you will, say to us this morning, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, and just put your name there. Do not be afraid, Mike, because God is Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus says to His children, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as God is doing this incredible thing in Mary's life, He's doing it as the present God, Emmanuel, the peace of Christmas. And the last thing I want us to think about this morning is what I'm calling the grace of Christmas. The grace of Christmas. You see, not only do we need the reach of Christmas, it needs to come to our lives. Not only do we need the power of Christmas, the miraculous working God in our lives. Not only do we need the peace of Christmas, that peace of God that passes all understanding, but folks, we need the grace of Christmas. The angel comes to Mary, and he says to her, Hail thou, highly favored one. In fact, he says it twice. Look again at the text. In verse 28, and coming in, he said to her, Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Then look down to verse 30. The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. That word favor there comes from the same word that we get the word grace from. God is going to grace Mary. Now, one thing we do know about grace is this. You don't earn grace. You don't work for it. You can't buy it. Grace is when God freely gives you not what you deserve, but what you need. And God's going to come into the life of Mary, and He is going to grace her. He's going to use her in an incredible way. And one thing we all need this Christmas season, we need the free grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. Again, I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, and I was thinking about it in light of the other passages, you know, where we read about the Christmas story. And I thought of that story. Remember when Mary and Joseph, they're on their way to Bethlehem so that he can register the census and all that was going on? They got to the end, and what happened at the end? There was no what? There was no room at the end. And Jesus, of course, is born in the place where they fed the animals, there in the manger. There was no room in the inn. But when God came to Mary, there was room. Amen? There was room. God comes to Mary in the most intimate way possible, in the sense that God wants her to give birth to the Savior of the world. A scary thought. And yet Mary makes room for Jesus. Mary makes room for Jesus. God graced her. God graced her. This morning, as we come to the end of our service, as we begin to put together all these things that we've been talking about, the reach of Christmas, the power of Christmas, the peace of Christmas, the grace of Christmas, the one question that I would ask, is there room? Is there room in your life for Jesus? Are you willing, like Mary, to say, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word"? I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. It's an amazing, amazing story. How God chose to enter this world, chose to change our lives forever. It was at a Christmas program years ago that I first heard the message of the gospel. Maybe you're here this morning and like I was then, maybe this is the time for you. You've heard the message. You've read the stories. You've watched the people here in this church family live and love each other and love you. They do it all because of Jesus. And maybe this is that moment in time. Maybe this is that place where God is saying to you, it's time to accept Christ as Savior and Lord. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing a song. One of the deacons is going to be here at the front of the church. If you'd like to accept Christ, you come and say, just tell him I need Jesus in my life, and to help you find him as your Savior and your Lord. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for what you did, Father, when you reached all around the world with the incredible message of the gospel. God, I pray that if there's someone here today that needs Jesus, that you would reach into his or her heart and help them accept him as Savior and Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Back of your bulletin, the pastor has put a little box there to tell you exactly how we receive members or what opportunities we give you at the end of a service. I think the Christmas story has told us today the things that God has done for us, given us a Savior and a Lord. And I remember the passage Murray said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And to magnify something makes it bigger. I hope your God is bigger this year than he has been before. I hope you will thank him for the Christ child, but yet thank him that Christ child went to the cross because we couldn't save ourselves. There was no way for us. Someone had to die for us that was sinless, and that was Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for being here. The bulletin doesn't have a whole lot in it this week. We are canceling Sunday nights and Wednesday night and Tuesday night, and you're going to think you're on vacation for the next couple of weeks. And Pastor Bob will be back with a whole bunch of new ideas, I'm sure. So he's going to put us to work because we've had a vacation, I'm sure. So pray up, get ready, because work is coming next year. It's good to see you here. Thank you, Brother Mike, for bringing that message. Good to have you and your wife with us today. Hope you'll come back sometime, anytime, and be with us. Hope all of you can come back and be with us. Hope you'll have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and be back next Sunday. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, as we come to thank you for this day, we have many things to thank you for, but at this time of year, the number one thing on our mind is the Savior, the Messiah. So many different things that Isaiah says his name means. Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor when we need some help, Emmanuel, God with us when we feel alone. Thank you for all the things that Christ can do for us if we'll just open our hearts and our lives to his will and his way. I pray that you'd be with each one of us as we go our separate ways and do our separate things for Christmas. I pray that you'd help each one of us to remember to thank you for the Christ child, and to thank you for the Savior that died on the cross, and to thank you for the promise that he's coming again. I just pray that you would help us to prepare ourselves and tell the world about the good news. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.